So I'm thinking about getting a Switch because prices have been going down on used units. And just having a Switch isn't enough. You need some games on it as well. Everybody knows about Breath of the Wild, Super Mario, whatever. I'm interested if you guys have any recommendations you could make for the Switch in particular. Like, what are some, like, I don't want, you know, Doom. I don't want, you know, like, Legend of Zelda stuff. I want some, like, itty-gritty indie kind of stuff, you know, something that maybe most people don't know about. So if there are, like, any, like, two games in particular, like, one game and then a sequel that are coming out soon for the Switch, something new, because I don't want to play any old games, that I should check out.
Yeah, last I checked, Super Seducer, actually, 1, 2, and I believe 3 were coming out for the Switch. That might be something that you might want to look into. Right, Steven? Those are coming out for the
Switch.
Actually,
no. Recently, unfortunately, tragically, Richard LaRuina announced that his ports to the Switch have been canceled.
What?
Amidst all the controversy surrounding his game coming out on Steam. His game was officially banned from Steam a few weeks ago. The Switch ports were supposed to be well on track, and unfortunately, he got notice from Nintendo today that they were canceled. I think you have his tweet up there, Alan John. Is there anything in that email that he
posted? I just looked it up because I couldn't believe what you were saying, and I opened his Twitter, and yep. So it seems that the games were fully ported and had been through one QA round, which is quality assurance. So they checked in with N, and N is probably Nintendo.
I hope so.
Okay. And I hope so. Yeah, I hope N means Nintendo as well, Eric. Yeah. So Nintendo said that they'd publish if they got the appropriate ratings. And we know that Super Seducer 1 and 2 got appropriate enough ratings to be released on Steam, right? So you'd think they would be appropriate enough for the Switch. But no, they got an email from N. It says, Dear Richard, we refer to the game Super Seducer and Super Seducer 2 being recognized on NDP under the game code AYZDA and A2. Okay, so those are the game codes, which are currently tested by our lot check departments. Okay, that's a lot of lingo that I don't understand. While testing the games, we did realize that they contain particularly explicit content. Now, these are the first two games. This isn't regarding number 3. Given this explicit content of the games, we have to inform you that Nintendo is not able to release the games on Nintendo Switch. Wow.
I know exactly who to blame, and believe it or not, it is not Mr. LaRuina. It's actually Mr. Steven himself, our friend who's on the podcast with us, because as that email implies, Nintendo was willing to go along with Super Seducer 1 and 2 if it received appropriate ratings. Now, Steven recommended Super Seducer 1 and 2 in his GBAtemp.net thread, but he did not actually rate it. However, he did rate Super Seducer 3 in an actual review, and he gave it a measly 5.5 out of 10. That's worse than Breath of the Wild. And if Steven would have just inflated his reviews a little bit, I'm confident that Nintendo would have put this on the system. They're willing to put a 7 out of 10 game on. They're not willing to put a 5.5 out of 10. They're not like, look, the big N is not.
No, just
like,
the N.
You know, they only put quality titles up.
Except for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, well, Breath of the Wild, so-so. Yo-Kai Watch, so-so. But yeah. Apparently Super Seducer couldn't even make the cut, and you know that's
well, if you want to know where it did make the cut, he did. So Super Seducer 3 was banned on Steam a few weeks ago, like we discussed. It did finally secure release on a platform that's almost as well known called gamesplanet.com. which is a very shady Steam key reseller that somehow Richard got to agree to sell Super Seducer 3 as a direct DRM-free download.
Oh my god.
It's the first thing you see when you go to GameSplanet.com.
There is a gigantic banner for it. It is, as far as I can tell, the only game they offer as a download. I could be wrong about that, but I couldn't find anything else. Everything else is shady Steam keys, including Super Seducer 1 and 2.
It's only $13, insane. And I can't believe he's underselling himself that much. Really?
Yeah, oh, and it is God. The uncensored edition, of course. That's right there in the title.
Okay, there's a screenshot where he's shooting a man. I saw this in the review.
It's about 3 minutes, 10 seconds into the review. It's a pretty great effect. Very convincing blood splatter on that one. If you want to check that out.
Okay, so I'll leave that for later. I'll leave that page on for later. But I like his reply to this. This is just so desperate. And wait, this was posted on April 1st. Is this possible? Is it possible that this is like some kind of joke?
I don't think he had
I've checked
about
his
this.
Feed since, and there was no indication that this is a joke. In fact, I think somebody asked him about it at the time.
Wow. Okay, so he replies to this tweet. Would be nice to recover some of the porting costs. Maybe a long shot, but does anyone think selling like 3 copies of each of the ROMs as NFTs might generate decent money, assuming it's even legal to sell in some form? This is a this is a desperate question, but it's it's interesting. Selling like a Switch ROM as an NFT. I don't think anybody has even thought of that before.
Can I ask, this is probably a dumb question, but what is an NFT? I see this around everywhere. I'm not internet savvy enough to really know what it is. Is this too long of an explanation for the podcast?
I'll try to be as concise as possible because... I know a lot of people are so sick of NFTs now that they can't even handle like another explanation, because I feel like every podcast I've been listening to in the past 3 weeks mentioned NFTs in some capacity. So NFTs, they're non-fungible tokens. So like a Bitcoin, that's a fungible token. If you have a Bitcoin and I have a Bitcoin, they're probably the most, they're the same, all right?
Yeah.
My one Bitcoin is the same as your one Bitcoin. Damn, I wish I had a Bitcoin. Fuck. And so a non-fungible token is like, hey, you have this token of approval that you own this specific product. Like it could be like an image, right? It could be like digital art or something. And you can buy that token, and through the blockchain, I can check, okay, who owns this? Ah, this is owned by Steven. Great, that's proof of you having that thing as yours. Basically, that's as basic as it gets. So this is why people are buying up all these NFTs, because it's basically the new version of digital ownership.
Right.
And you can own like the next Mona Lisa, basically, even though it doesn't physically exist.
And your ownership wouldn't necessarily mean anything, right? Like, if, even if you own it, other people can still use it. And
yes, precisely. But, precisely. Okay. It's just like, I don't own the Mona Lisa, but I can like download an image of it and print it and hang it up on my wall. That doesn't mean like I'm Leonardo DiCaprio or whoever created it. So the thing is, there's a lot of hype going around this stuff, and even I tried to sell an NFT because that's how desperate I am.
Alien John?
No, it wasn't Alien John.
Were you trying to sell the Switch ROM of Alien John?
No, Alien John isn't coming out for the Switch. It's a Google Stadia exclusive, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Well, if you wanted to sell Alien John and then not actually allow people to download it, you should just put it on GamesPlanet.com, because I'm reading the comments for Super Seducer 3 and nobody's able to download this game.
Okay.
I haven't paid by PayPal and I got no game and no way to download the game. What should I do? Scroll down a little more. Hello, after I downloaded the game and opened it, is it a cut version? What happened? All right. Just a thanks to GamesPlan. Oh, that's actually saying something nice. I have paid and waited for 24 hours. Why do I still show waiting? Mac OS can't download. It has been 24 hours. Still shows how to wait for PayPal to deal with it. So, yeah, don't download the game. Also, that screenshot that...
Oh, wait, you can see my screen?
Alan John froze on. Oh, I can see your screen.
It's okay, Alan John. It's for work.
Yeah. It is, by the way.
It, just building off the NFT thing, I saw someone suggest in the Twitter replies to his tweet that he could also sell the NSPs so people with hacked switches could install them via custom firmware.
I want to know what the... How legally is if that's possible? Can indie developers like develop for the Switch? Because you need, do you need like a development kit really for that, or can you develop games for on a Switch like using just a hacked one? I'm pretty sure you can, right?
I don't know,
because getting like a development kit would mean you get like some kind of license agreement in order to publish your game and whatever. So legally publishing, would that be in the legally publishing thing? Because I remember back in the days of the Nintendo DS, you had homebrew developers, such as the guys who created Colors DS, the best at the time DS drawing app, because Nintendo didn't think of making a drawing app for their first system with a touchscreen for some reason. But Colors, they did it, and they did it for free. And guess what? Nintendo actually let them publish... Colors 3D for the 3DS. So they didn't sue them to oblivion for making DS game. Yeah, and just publishing like an NDS file, just download it. So what would happen if I like made an NSP file and, you know, alienjohn.nsp, right? And I offered to sell it like not on Nintendo's platform, not through the eShop, but through GamesPlanet, for example.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I would say don't do that, because there's no just don't do it. So anyway, if you were planning on, you know, selling something on the Switch, not going through the official means, you might want to reconsider doing that. There's some other people doing some reconsidering lately. CD Projekt Red, I don't know if we've talked about them on the podcast before. They're the guys who did Cyberpunk 2077 and some other games that I can't think of right now. But they were going to add multiplayer to Cyberpunk 2077. Maybe they don't want to do that so much anymore.
Maybe they shouldn't do anything anymore.
So CD Projekt Red released this really, really long video the other day. And when I say really long, it was like 25 minutes long, but that's kind of a lot. They've basically restructured the way their whole company works in the wake of Cyberpunk's disastrous release. And so it seems like they're committed to Cyberpunk as a brand, even though obviously the release of the first game went really, really poorly, because they keep talking. The main thing they're doing is they're going to be changing around their whole engine so that it can be used on both The Witcher and Cyberpunk. And they keep saying they're going to be serving both of their franchises and not multiple franchises. So it sounds like they're basically committed to just working on those two, which presumably means more Witcher games are coming as well.
I mean, they don't have like anything left, really.
No, I guess. I mean, they could do something new instead of just keep doing these two things, right? But
yeah, they've tried something new with Cyberpunk. That turned out great.
So they just want to keep just only do old things, even if the old thing started off really shitty.
Yeah, they could make a Cyberpunk card game.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. A big part of their strategy moving forward is going to be to just branch Cyberpunk out into every other form of entertainment imaginable, because that happened with The Witcher and it was really successful. So they think if they just keep making Cyberpunk stuff, people will eventually forget that they don't like Cyberpunk and start buying it, which is a really weird strategy, because The Witcher didn't really hit big and start expanding beyond the games until the third game. And that's also obviously ignoring the fact that The Witcher originated as a book series and not as a friggin' video game, right?
Yeah, and from what I understand, the games take place after the books.
They do. They kind of retcon the ending to the books. I never played the games.
Wow, that's interesting.
Books. They're pretty good. Yeah. The first game just sort of gets rid of the last couple chapters of the very last book and says, never mind.
So it's like an alternate history sort of thing?
Well, no, it's just a shitty retcon. It's like how the Hitchhikers got.
Okay,
to the
well, don't spoil that because I want to read that book. I've heard a lot of good things.
Okay,
so
do it. Read all of them. It's a trilogy. There's five or six.
I want to buy like
now.
Physical copies of that book. I can read them like right now, but
it's
kind of hard to find them physically. Yeah.
Really? I got them.
Good for you.
Oh, but I live in a different country.
Say it retconned. So is it just like the Zelda timeline after Ocarina of Time where they just completely retcon the ending to that game?
They don't do that, though.
Okay. They do.
In
they do.
Zelda, they do they? No,
they do.
No, they don't.
A hypothetical timeline, if things didn't occur the way they canonically did in Ocarina of Time.
Okay. In that way, yes. In that way, the downfall timeline does retcon the ending of Ocarina of Time. You're right. This is a little different. There's an event that happens at the end of one of the books that leads Geralt in one direction, but then the games have it lead him in a different direction instead. That's the least spoilery way of putting
it. Yeah, it's just like CD Projekt Red right now.
Retconning
themselves, basically. I wonder if they think Cyberpunk was a success.
Well, it did sell well. It sold, even after the refunds, it sold 13 million copies. So it is a success, really. I mean, it's easy to take pot shots at it. I like the game myself, but it's also kind of hard to deny that it has a huge, huge stigma around it and probably will for a long time.
Yeah, you know, CD Projekt should probably just take Cyberpunk as a game and instead just make it free for everybody so that everybody could enjoy it. Maybe even, like, stream it or something.
Yeah. I think that everything that had a lot of hype in the past and then the hype just completely died should be a free thing for everybody to sort of spark that hype. Wait, you know what? That reminds me of E3. Remember? Oh, that used to be a big thing.
You guys are moving on so fucking fast in topics. I didn't think we were done with CD Projekt Red.
Oh, okay. Let's keep talking about CD Projekt Red. What do you
have to say? I'm not done with CD Projekt Red.
Go over the story. You guys are just flying through the goddamn topic list. I was like, yeah, they put out a video saying they're going to do things differently. All right, cool. Moving on to E3.
We just discussed that.
You talked about Geralt and the goddamn alternate history of the books. What are you talking about? We didn't talk about it. We don't have to, but I asked you before we started, do you want to talk? You said, yeah, fine. I guess we have to. And then you leave it on there. We start talking and you move right on to the books. You talk about the Zelda timeline. You didn't talk about all right, what do you want?
Steven, the Rant Sona situation was an April Fool's joke. We're not actually doing that. We're not actually going to spend the whole podcast ranting about things
then
that piss
stop pissing
off.
Me off. For God's sake. Fine, talk about E3. Fuck all you.
No. You apparently have stuff to say about
Cyberpunk?
What's the name of the game? Cyberpunk.
I just wanted to finish the story. There was still, like, a ton of stuff to talk about. Fine. I'm just annoyed at CD Projekt Red for constantly. How many times since Cyberpunk came out have they come out with apologies and clarifications and updates and more strategic restructuring that they're going to do, and they never stop talking about what they're going to do without actually doing anything. And that's really mainly what's starting to bug me with them. Like, and I guess that's why you guys don't want to talk about it on the podcast, is it's stuff we've talked about before. But if you look at something like, you know, Hello Games is obviously the big famous example that after No Man's Sky came out, they just shut up and went away for a while, and when they came back, people were ready to forgive them. CD Projekt Red keeps trying to get back to that old reputation they had before Cyberpunk came out, and they want to get right back to it through words rather than action, and it's really hurting their reputation and keeping their negative image in the public eye, and it's frustrating.
I think I agree with that. Yeah, because we've mentioned this before, but yeah, CD Projekt Red to me was one of those developers where it's like they were put on a pedestal. Like The Witcher was really like their thing, and they did a really good job with that. And it's like, wow, these are the great developers, these indie developers. They're so awesome. And then, yeah, to then get crushed. It's like, what's still good? What do we still like Naughty Dog? I hope we
still
like
Naughty Dog. Well, they had all the crunch
stories, but... see, now I hate Naughty Dog.
Oh, speaking of
crunch,
so CD Projekt Red did acknowledge that briefly in their thing. They two or three times they were like, oh, we're going to be more committed to our team, but didn't actually say anything. At one point they made a reference to having more initiatives to support mental health, and that was it. So, like, it's another instance of them saying, like, we're going to be nicer to our workers, but not actually doing anything about it. That just makes it more frustrating every time they bring it up. They've said they're going to change their approach to external communication, so they're not going to announce things until closer to the release day. They're not going to do showcases that only demo the game on one platform, so... You can avoid a situation where, you know, Cyberpunk looked good on PC and ran like shit on console. So, like, they're saying a lot of the right things, but it's still very, very frustrating just to hear them say it over and over again. Like,
I wish Cyberpunk, I mean, CD Projekt Red would just come out and say, yeah, we released a shitty game. Deal with it. What are you going to do? Huh? Refund us? Okay. What? I don't care. We're going to release another one that's going to be even worse. In 5 years, maybe seven.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
I like that.
You know who else is going to change the way that they release and showcase games? The Electronic Entertainment Expo. Ooh, 2021.
Nice.
Hey. It wasn't.
I thought it was better.
I
thought it was better.
You know.
I thought. Wow. Can we do polls on the website? Can I include a poll with this? With this post to see which transition was better?
Good question. I don't know. Raise your hands. We're just gonna do it from the honor system. Leave a comment, like, subscribe. Are the Raid Shadow Legends jokes? I guess we can't do that anymore because we kind of beat a dead horse on that. Oh well, that was good. Let's all appreciate Alan John for that April Fool's Day joke.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
Speaking of things that are over. E3. Oh, wait. We just segued into... Okay, never mind.
No, we'll just add another option to the poll, my man. It's no trouble.
Speaking of things that are over, E3's physical presentations are done. Now it's all digital, baby. Remember when Nintendo first did their Direct and people were like, oh, Nintendo, what are you doing? You need a physical presentation. You need Fizame going out on the stage, doing a dance, saying like his body is ready, then Miyamoto showing off the new Zelda. That's what you need. That's what every company does. But no, they went digital first, mind you. And now what? Now E3 completely going digital. That's right. It's going to be free for everyone. Hopefully me as well. And that's interesting. I wonder if Sony is gonna come back to E3 now, because back in the day they didn't, because cost too much, I think. So I wonder now if they could just slap on like who's the main guy there, Meg Ryan, put him on like a webcam, make him talk about, like, I don't know, God of War Ragnarok for like 30 minutes, and there you got an E3 presentation. You can just pop it on YouTube and that's it. That's E3. So yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. Very interesting to see how they're gonna organize that stuff. How are they gonna digitize lines to demos? That's what interests me.
Like, just look at every retailer trying to sell a PS5. They already figured out digitized lines.
Yeah, just refresh the page every like nanosecond in order to play like the demo for the next Zelda game. Yeah, that would be nice. That would be cool.
It's excellent. You were so eager to talk about it. And I mean, what you get, nobody is. I didn't put this on the list. I didn't want to talk about this. I wasn't cutting other people off to talk about this. And for Christ's sake, you fucking people.
I feel like you should put the Mewtwo with a beanie on every time Steven talks. Just make him a reoccurring character.
So, do you guys feel as nostalgic as I am for E3?
Yeah, kind of. I used to like E3. I remember E3 2016 really got me hyped up. Oh, you're a
late bloomer.
But I haven't... Well, I mean, that was the last one to get me hyped up. I've been hyped up in the past, but it hasn't hyped me since.
Well, how different will this be from a traditional E3 experience for most of us? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'll assume you've never been to E3 in person. You experience it digitally, right? Like, you read news reports or you might watch live streams. I've never been. I doubt I ever will. So, I don't know. I mean, is this going to be... The only difference is going to be whether they can continue to attract big publishers and developers to showcase games there, which I imagine they will, and they'll probably get a lot of indies as well, because people are still in the habit of going there to get their stuff shown. So, like, I mean, I don't know, maybe bigger companies won't do it, but Nintendo and Sony, even after they pulled out of E3, still did their live presentations around the same time, around the same area. Like, so I feel like for most people, this isn't really going to represent much of a change.
Honestly,
good point, yeah.
The thing that I'm going to be missing the most is, you know, terrible mistakes on stage and, you know, just people being awkward. Stage fright is a big one.
Oh, you're still gonna get that.
No, I don't think we will. I think most of these things are just gonna be pre-recorded, like directs. Like, nobody's gonna get Meg Ryan live on a Zoom call. He's gonna be like on a blue screen and it's gonna be all pre-recorded and nicely edited.
I feel like you'll get some live streams. I don't see why not. There'll be something like what was it? Was it the Blizzard event that was live streamed recently and they had like that weird Metallica fiasco and like stuff like that?
But that's like an exception. I want, like, you know, remember that guy? That guy who was showing off his puppet game or something? Was it a puppet game? I don't remember. The guy showed off his trying to show off his game. He brought like a little stuffed character from it. And he was just so awkward on stage. He had so much stage fright in him. And you could see him, his, like, arms trembling, showing that this is the character from our game.
I don't remember that, but it sounds awesome.
Oh, no.
Oh, you should just Google that.
And then a giant enemy crab appears.
Yeah, this game is based off historical Japan.
And it only costs,
I think you'll get stuff like that still, at the very least. Maybe you won't get the awkwardness. I still kind of think you will, but corny stuff like the giant enemy crab will definitely still be there. You'll probably still get stuff like that really horrible Wii music presentation.
I remembered it. You guys need to search for terrible Konami E3 presentation. That entire presentation, I don't know what went wrong, but everything... Every possible thing that could go wrong went wrong. Like, first of all, the stage, it wasn't even a stage. It was like a room this big, like mine, like our studio, and with like 50 people in it. And there's like maybe 2 feet between the presenter and the audience, right? And like you have like a projector on the side. And everybody was so close together and so claustrophobic and everything.
Oh my gosh, I'm scrolling through like the video right now and you're right.
And they had Japanese developers who can't speak English try to describe their game, and like 9 million troops. Yes, please clap. 9 million troops. I'm not being racist. I'm just quoting the guy. It is a cringe fest. Like, I'm gonna miss that. That's what I watch E3 for, to be honest.
I don't know. I still think those moments will exist going forward.
I hope. It makes me feel better when people are failing.
Speaking of people who are failing, I am going to fail on transitioning to this next topic, so I'm just going to read it verbatim. Crash Bandicoot 4 on PC requires a constant internet connection despite having no online features. That's the story, that's the headline, and that's also the story. If you have a PC and you want to play Crash Bandicoot 4 on it, you would have to have a constant internet connection, even though the game itself does not have online features aside from you having to be online while you play. Also, there's an article about this on gbatemp.net posted by Steven, and it got 20 likes And then there's a comment right below it, two below it, which is my comment, where I say something snarky, and it has 66 likes. So thank you, Steven, for reporting it. And then I just say, oh, that's why piracy's better. And everyone's like, yes, I fucking love piracy.
I even in my article, there's a website called Crackwatch where they, it's not a porn site. It's,
why would that be a porn site? What does Crackwatch have to do with?
Oh, wait, no,
it makes sense. Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there. But it keeps an eye out for whether games are available on torrent sites or, you know, illegal download sites, and it doesn't link to them. It doesn't tell you specific ways to get to them, so it's all above board, and I can talk about it. But I was even like, hey, you know, like, this DRM didn't work, because according to Crackwatch, you can download Crash Bandicoot 4 to try and get, you know, to farm those piracy likes, and I didn't even get it. But then Eric just goes in there, and he's like, duh, and the whole fucking country comes out and gives him a like.
I'd like to just chime in for a second. It's not necessarily the DRM in the game itself that wants the game to be online all the time. This is an Activision game, so it's published on Battle.net, and Battle.net, all Battle.net games, multiplayer or multiplayer with single player elements to them, have to be always online. This was a big scandal back when Diablo 3 came out, because Diablo 3 is a game that, yeah, you can play co-op, but you can completely go through it single player, and people couldn't play the game even in single player because the servers were down. The login servers were down because this game was a big hit.
That also happened with Crash Bandicoot 4. Not for as long. It was only for 2 hours.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. So,
and it was enough to justify a lot of people. It makes sense
because the wait for Diablo 3, it was like days. People had to wait in queue for like hundreds of hours sometimes even. That's how insane it was. And with this, yeah, it's practically the same thing. It's a shame that Blizzard still hasn't fixed that login server issue. If Crash Bandicoot, which I doubt carries the same amount of hype as Diablo 3, even that causes, like, that release causes login issues, even though it's a completely single player game.
There's just no need.
It blows my mind.
There's another game that just came out recently that's been having a similar issue. It's called Outriders, and have you heard of this? Are you familiar with it?
Maybe if they chose like less of a generic name. I'm looking at the website for it, and this honestly looks like the most generic video game I've ever seen. Like, this is Destiny. Yeah, this is just Destiny and those other games like Warframe in one. Wow, I do not want to play this.
What are you talking about? Outriders is a new co-op third-person RPG shooter fully supporting crossplay and free next-gen updates. Out 1/4/21. Demo available 25/2/21. Oh, I'm American, so that doesn't look right to me.
By the way, it's not fully supporting crossplay because they had to shut off crossplay between PC and consoles because it kept breaking the game.
Well, tell that to Google, because they should probably update that.
Yeah, and their servers are not completely down, but people are reporting having to wait hours to get in. Even if you want to play by yourself, you have to do an initial authentication when you get in, so.
Well, yeah, it's a little ridiculous that Crash Bandicoot 4 has to be online all the time.
Sorry, I forgot you were trying to transition to the other one. I shouldn't have brought up Outriders.
No, I still want to talk about Crash Bandicoot.
No, so, I'm sorry, I forgot. My bad.
Speaking of shitty games, Crash Bandicoot, there's a mobile game now, of course. It's an endless runner called Crash Bandicoot on the go. And, of course, I'm a super Crash Bandicoot fan, so I fucking downloaded it anyway.
You're really aggressive.
It's a bad game. Don't do it. I bought something on it. I'm sorry. I spent $3 on the game on a microtransaction. One of the worst part is I used it to buy a skin for Coco, who you can run as, and the game glitched, so I didn't get it. Then I had to contact I had to contact support, and they're like, "Oh, here's 500 purple gems for your convenience." And I was like, "Oh, okay, but I still don't have the skin, and that costs real money." So they reimbursed me in the currency that they use in the game to buy other stuff, but this particular character can only be bought with real money and not the
crystals. Oh, wow. So you got nothing.
Yeah, they're like, "Well, we gave you 500 crystals, which is a $20 value, and you only had to spend $3 for it." And I was like, "But I wanted to."
That's not what you wanted.
That's not what I wanted. But what's weird about that game is it's one of those things where it's like you play the game, and then after a certain amount of time, you have to wait a certain real life hours unless you speed it along with the crystals, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Those kind of games?
Yeah.
Except if you disconnect from the internet and fast forward your clock on your phone, you can then bypass that whole situation, which is weird because this is an online, I mean, this is a mobile game that doesn't require you to be online all the time, and you can actually abuse the system by not being online all the time.
Weird. So one of the only games where you could justify being online all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought that the irony there between the two Crash Bandicoot games is big. That said, Crash Bandicoot 4 is a vastly superior game to this mobile game. I do not recommend anybody buy it or download it. Play for free now, Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah.
This video is
don't download it for free, but do buy the Cocoa skin.
Yeah, you can get free crystals. You just have to have your game glitch out on you. I can't transition to this next topic because I don't know how to pronounce the first word.
So you're saying that a glitch happened in that mobile game, right? So you think probably the developers should update it, right?
Yes. Well, hold on. Don't update it if it's going to fix the glitch. Fix the bad glitches, not the good ones.
Okay. Please. So you could say, like, in a way that Activision, you know, probably supports that game, right?
Sure. Assuming Activision has anything to do with it.
Well, it's good that Activision supports their products because a certain company just decides to give up, and that company is Sony. Last episode, we talked about how it was a rumor at the time that Sony would be closing their PSP, PS Vita, and PlayStation 3 stores. Later came out as true, basically, that they are going to be closing everything down in June, I think, which is relatively soon. And a lot of developers who have their Vita games digital only received this information at the same time as us, which is insane. Like, they weren't given any time whatsoever to gather all their assets, all their resources, you know, from the game to possibly, I don't know, port them to newer systems. I don't know. I honestly don't know what they should do, like, in this situation. Because apparently there are developers who were mostly making their profits from PS Vita sales somehow. And now it's just all going away, unfortunately. Well, at least officially, at least legally, because a certain group called Kyuhen, well, actually, it's not a Kyuhen.
Is it Kyuhen?
I don't know.
Maybe it's pronounced
chicken. It's a contest, basically. It's a chicken. Is a homebrew contest. I shouldn't disrespect these guys that much because they're doing something really cool for the community.
Yeah, don't be an asshole.
I'm not going to be a crack watcher. Is that what Simon was talking about earlier? Kyuhen is a competition for the PS Vita. It's going to be like a homebrew contest. Remember, the GBA Temp had a homebrew bounty back in the day, back when the site was profitable. Good times, good times. And we organized these homebrew bounties where basically we took systems like the DS, the 3DS, I think the GBA at some point, basically had a prize pool where developers could develop their games. And by the end, the community and as well as the staff would vote on which game was the best. And then we'd give them like prizes and stuff. You know, sometimes it was monetary prizes. Sometimes it was limited edition supercar DS2s, which I still want one so bad. Can't find them anywhere. And what these guys are doing, basically the same thing for the PlayStation Vita. The prize pool currently is around $455, and the donations are still open. So if you want to support the PlayStation Vita homebrew community, check out Kyuhen. That's Kai Y-U with a arrow pointing up, and Hen. Check them out. Maybe give them like a couple of bucks. You know, keep that community.
And for our English speakers, the first letter is not Kai, it's actually okay, K.
I see what you're doing. You're using the fact that I'm not like a native English speaker against me. Yeah, that's...
I'm just trying to clarify for people. It's K-Y-U-H-E-N. Well, K-Y special U-H-E-N.
That's all the circumflex is, the little hat over the
U. No, your language doesn't make any sense. Why does C sometimes mean K, but sometimes means something completely different? And why if you put it like near an E, it becomes an S, and if you put it next to an H, it becomes ch? How the fuck does that make sense? And fuck, why does fuck have two K's in them? Basically because the C and the K. Okay, I'm sorry. Kyuhen, check out Kyuhen, the PlayStation Vita homebrew contest. Donate to them. I think we've verified that these guys are legit. Otherwise, Krista wouldn't post this on the front page.
That's Krista with a K.
Yeah, it's Krista when it's Krista, but it's when it's Chari, it's okay. Whatever.
I just love. I think we've verified that they're legit. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know. Just call your card. Just call your bank and cancel your credit card, I guess. I don't know. You guys have stuff. You have measures in place.
So they have like different categories as well. Like if your game actually was released for like the PlayStation 4 or the Switch or like 3DS, whatever, you could actually submit it as a port. So they have different categories like original games and ports. So that's pretty cool. We can like see some really cool ports coming out from this contest. I don't know what hasn't been ported to the Vita. We can see.
Hmm.
No,
Mother
no,
it's 3?
You can't, because then like Nintendo would sue them. So yeah, piracy isn't allowed in this contest. Obviously, it makes sense. So you can't just like port Diablo 2.
Could you say, "Oh, this is my game, Diablo 2 on the Vita"?
If Richard LaRuina puts out an NSP of Super Seducer 1 and 2, could you port those?
He would be trying to sell it though.
You're right. What about Colors, that NDS?
I guess Vita probably doesn't have a good drawing app, so yeah, I guess that could work.
Free suggestion.
So if those guys need money, they could, yeah, they should check out Kyuhen.
Yeah.
Is that it? Are we finished? Are we done?
All right, okay, yeah, bye. So I think we're ready to introduce the show, because we haven't done that yet. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Tempcast.
No. Steven. It's over.
All right, should we sync up?
Yeah.
Did we sync at the beginning? We did.